Our goal is within the next year to be reaching at least 300,000 dues-paying members and beyond. We believe very strongly the only way to grow the middle class is to grow the labor movement.
For federal employees specifically, why is it so important that the union grows?
The union is the voice, and it's the active part. The only entity that really advocates and works extremely hard for federal and D.C. government workers is AFGE. I mean, there are many causes that get involved in the politics and elections of various individuals. There's causes for all type of entities. We are the cause of federal and D.C. government workers. That's what we do. That's what we are about. That's our mission, is to be the advocate for those workers, for the funding for their agencies, for rights in the workplace, dignity in the workplace, and most of all, for providing those services to the American public.
And what are some of your other priorities?
Probably the first priority that I have as national president is dealing with the upcoming elections, not only the presidential election, but the House and the Senate. They're all extremely important to AFGE. And we'll be out there, not just with a financial type commitment, but where we have our greatest commitment is through our membership and boots on the ground, knocking on doors, working in phone banks, and certainly out there advocating for those who have been strong supporters of federal and D.C. government workers.
What are some other priorities that are at the top of your list?
Top of the list there, obviously, is federal employee pay. You realize and you're very much aware of the fact that we've been in a two-year pay freeze for all federal employees, and the president just announced yesterday that we would be basically continuing that pay freeze as long as there's a continuing resolution. And as such, even the raise that's being proposed is a half of a percentage point. And if that raise is delayed, say, till April next year, federal employees used to get their raise at the 1st of October. Now it's been moved to the 1st of January, it'd be moved to the 1st of April. In reality, it would only be a raise of 0.25%, which is a very, very minimal amount, while their health insurance and all other costs of living are continuing to go up.
A lot of federal employees have expressed concern that unions can't be or haven't been as effective as they'd hoped. For example, unions can't bargain on pay and benefits. So what are your plans to change that, if any?
The place that federal unions bargain pay and benefits is on Capitol Hill. I mean, it's a different arrangement. Private sector unions sit down with the managers and employers and bargain pay and benefits. We obviously, the Congress of the United States, the President of the United States, that's where we have to bargain those type of issues. If you look historically, pay raises, annual leave, sick leave, health insurance, retirement, all those type things have been AFGE pieces of legislation that we advocated for, got introduced, and got passed through Congress. I mean, that's just how we work as a federal employee union.
Are there any aspects of bargaining that you hope to change during your tenure, give agencies new bargaining powers or abilities?
We would always advocate for expanding bargaining and the areas of exclusion or permissive areas of bargaining, the B1 bargaining, which is a very specific term in federal labor relations. We would always advocate for expanding those type bargainings and to try to achieve greater rights for our members and our employees. But, I'll stand very firm. AFG has bargained excellent contracts through the years, continues to bargain good contracts. I think if you look at some of the highlights of the things we have just bargained with TSA, that contract's going to ratification, that we're very strong in bargaining. We would advocate to increase the bargaining, but we do a great job of bargaining very good contracts within the current laws.
Some people have said AFGE has been confrontational in the way that it approaches people who disagree with its positions. Under your leadership, how will the union's approach change, if at all?
Those folks that know me very well know that I will always listen to folks. I try to hear other people's side. But at the same token, when it comes to some of the basic things, AFGE is going to always advocate for pay and for rights of its members. I mean, again, I'm back to the issue. That's what we do. We understand that, there are some financial crises in this country, and AFG has acknowledged that, and we've acknowledged that federal employees have taken a $60 billion hit for the cause of the American public, and we would certainly challenge the richest 1% of this country to take those type hits. To help out in a time of crisis. We really haven't seen any rollback on the Bush tax cuts or other type things that has been out there advocating, for very wealthy people. And most people that are members of AFGE are not wealthy folks. We have lots of members that make $30,000 or less a year. They work very hard, but extremely dedicated to the work that they do.
Do you ever see a day where AFGE might agree with or at least allow, in your head, more contributions to deficit reduction by federal employees? Is there any scenario that would be permissible?
I believe that federal employees have paid more than their fair share on the deficit reduction. Federal employees have been the whale that has been repeatedly gone to over and over, and I'm of the opinion that well is dry. It is time to look to other folks in this country instead of federal employees. If the government is going to recruit the best and the brightest and provide great government service and all these type things, they're going to have to pay a living wage to be able to recruit and retain good employees.